Welcome to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your host, motivational speaker Greg Dwyer. Be sure to check out Greg at www.gregdwyer.com. That's www.gregdwyer.com. Now on to our show. Take it away, Greg.
You know, if you have a message that you want to get out, you have a voice, you have something you want to share with an audience, whether it's on a podcast like this or whether it's on YouTube or whatever you want to do, public speaking, you got to have some confidence. My guest today is an expert on this. So I'm so excited. Amanda May Gray is going to talk to us about cultivating confidence in front of the camera and also live. Amanda May, thank you for being on the podcast.
Yeah, Greg, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So how did you get involved with this? I know we just started chatting a few minutes ago, but I don't know the backstory. And usually there's a backstory. Somebody, they did modeling or they were involved in some kind of small business or they just got an idea. What's the backstory here?
Yeah, so for confidence, I have been a model and I've done acting. I still do those things, but I always kind of felt like I wasn't quite good enough to do more with it. So I did like a lot of free work and little projects and was never in the big cities that you're supposed to actually make it big because I didn't feel like I was that person. I didn't think I was pretty enough. I didn't think I was tall enough. I didn't think I was smart enough for different things. And that all boils down to growing up in a childhood that had an older sister who really just didn't want to support all of that and really was taking all the attention. So I never felt like I was quite good enough no matter what I was doing. And then I realized other people feel like that. But I also realized that people saw me as somebody to look up to just because I was modeling. And in my mind, it was no big deal. It really was something. And I just kind of found my voice and realized that I could help other people with what I learned there.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think a lot of people walk around with this self-image or voice in their head, like, I'm not really good at this, or I'm not that kind of person, self-limited beliefs. So how did you get over that? I mean, how did you break through with all of that negativity? What was the secret?
It's hard. I think it's something that you're continually working on. And I think that confidence is something that, especially when you're new at something, you don't have that confidence. So to me, it's like you have to look back and see what you've already accomplished. You kind of have to take inventory and say, okay, what have I done? Well, modeling, even though in my head it wasn't big time modeling, it wasn't this, it wasn't that, it was a lot more than a lot of other people have done. I did get paid. I did end up in Vogue Italy. Italia, actually, it's technically I say that. But well, I had a lot of accomplishments that I just kind of took for granted because when you do go into something, you start to build things up and you don't realize what you're doing and how far along you're going. You know, it's really hard when you're in the middle of your progress to see the progress itself. So
yeah,
I like to take that into accountability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of reminds me.
That's kind of my big thing there.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me, like, if you have kids and, you know, you're around your kids all the time and they're like 5 and then they turn 6 or 8 and, you know, you don't see your friends until, I don't know, maybe a year or two later and like, wow, your kids have gotten so big and you're like, oh, I didn't really notice because I'm around them all the time. But if you only see people a couple times a year, you're aware of the growth and I think it's the same. You're too close to the trees to see your own growth. Now, I know this, very few people like to get in front of the camera. And I've done public speaking where afterwards I'd say to somebody, I know you love the presentation. Can you tell us about it? And Amanda May, I take out the camera and they freeze. Like the average person doesn't really, you know. So how did you, I mean, you're very good on camera. In fact, I met you on camera on a Zoom and I thought, oh, wow, that person's really comfortable. But how did you become comfortable on Zoom or in front of a camera? Tell us the process that you went through in that. Or are you just a natural?
I don't know if I'm a natural. I mean, when I was in high school, I went to a prom, and the photographer said I was photogenic, and that's where it kind of all started in terms of like, oh, maybe there's something here that I didn't realize. But I kind of equate it to like driving a car. When you first start driving a car, it's bumpy, it's rocky, you might stall it out, it's not smooth whatsoever. But if you drive a car today, you probably don't even think about it that much. So
right.
The more experience that you get with something, the more training, the more feedback you get, the better you get at it. So for me, getting comfortable on camera started young with photos, and then I like to do acting and theater, so it naturally went into on-camera work for video. So the more I've done it, the better it's become. If you go back and look at my YouTube channel, you'll see the progression. And even though I was still pretty comfortable talking on camera, it wasn't as smooth as it is now. So it's like anything else, right? The more you do it, the better you're going to get at it. Thing I can tell people, when you want to be more comfortable on camera, there's a couple things I do. The first thing you want to do, physically take your hands and shake them. Shake them out like you've got water on your hands and you just finished washing your hands and there's no paper towels and there's no dryer and all you got to do, that's the only option, is shake them, get that excess water out. And what that does is it releases your tension, releases the nervous energy. Because a lot of times what we have is we're pent up energy. We're so nervous. We don't want to mess up. We don't want to look bad. And that helps release that energy and calm you down and ground you where you are. Then you just want to take a couple of big, deep breaths. And then at the end of that breath, smile. It's known that when you smile, you start to feel better. You feel more comfortable.
Right.
So if you get out that excess energy and you start to force yourself to smile, you're going to relax into it even more. And then just practice. Just talk like you're talking to a friend, just having a cup of coffee and just sharing your information that you have. You don't have to be perfect. And if you're not going live, like this show is live, but if you're not going live, there's this beauty in editing. They can work on you with.
That's true. I started many, many years ago doing public broadcasting television, cable, you know, nothing really big.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my first show. I was so nervous. I think I was sweating into my shoes, you know. So it was a half an hour show, and the first 5 or 10 minutes I did a little bit of an introduction, then I did an interview, and it was terrible. And you can go to my YouTube and you can see it, and we can all laugh together. But I got to tell you, I stayed with it, and I got to the point where I almost didn't really care. It was the conversation that I was having with somebody I knew or met or wanted to find out more about, you know, just like you, and asking questions, and it just became natural. I think the sad thing is sometimes people quit. They quit too early. They quit, you know, and talk a little bit about that.
Oh, I've done that many times, and I think that's where a lot of my frustration would come in, because I'd have the gumption to, like, go try something, because I'm the naturally adventuresome and curious person. So I would like, get interested in something, go try it, but if I failed and fell on my face, there's a lot of times I would not then keep going. I'd get that instant rejection or a hard rejection or a public rejection, and then I wouldn't want to keep going. And I had to come to terms with the fact that, like, if one person doesn't like me for whatever reason, and it might have nothing to do with what you're actually accomplishing, then it doesn't matter. And I figured this out actually in sales. I was training a guy to do my job in sales, and it was retail, public sales, so talk to the public as they came in, and I was selling scotch. And as a woman selling scotch, naturally you would probably assume there were certain people that didn't want to talk to the girl, because what would she know about whiskey? But I found that there were certain that would not talk to him that would talk to me, and vice versa.
Yeah, right.
And that was kind of a light bulb moment for me of like, oh, it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what race, what gender. It doesn't – none of that matters. There will always be someone, for whatever reason, they're having a bad day, they've had a bad experience in the past, somebody that might look like you. Who knows? You don't know their backstory. There's always going to be somebody – who won't want to talk to you out there. And when you realize that, you kind of can let it go. And you just kind of check it off your list. You're like, well, that was my one person for the day. Or, you know, if you can come to terms with that, not everyone is going to like you at all times, you can move on so much faster in life. It makes a huge difference.
You know, one of the things I normally do is when I have a guest on, I'll go on, YouTube, or I'll go on Google and just put your name in. So I did that. So I found your YouTube site, and I watched probably 5 or 6 of your videos. And the last one that I watched just before the top of the hour, you were talking about failure. You were talking about a kid. You showed a kid. Your editing was wonderful, by the way. You showed a kid falling down, and you're like, hey, when's the last time you did something and you failed? Did you get back up, right? So that was wonderful because I think people need to hear that.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I identified in myself was, like, I figured out, and it took years, but I would have people from high school reach out to me and be like, oh, my gosh, you know, you've done so much. And I'm like, "Who? What? You even know my name? Like, wait,
right.
Huh? Kid in school? At all. Like, I moved from Massachusetts to Maine, and I was the outsider, and they didn't want to talk to me, and I had a big mouth, and I had an accent, and I was a bit of a know-it-all. You know, so despite my persona on the outside, they didn't want to be my friend. And it was really eye-opening to have people be like, oh, you've done so much. That's so interesting. And I realized it doesn't matter who you are. You're always inspiring somebody. So I have this saying, who you inspire is beyond what you know. So you better just keep on doing it.
I love that. Have you ever thought of that, like a title for a book, or did you write a book about that?
No, it's on my website here or there. I think it's my thing. So I'll be honest with you. I've said this for a while now, and I'm not sure if it's mine. I tried to Google it, and nothing else has come up. So we're just going to go with it and say I came up with that one.
Yeah. It just resonates. Yeah, that's wonderful. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. So give us some advice. If someone wanted to get something out there, and it could be anything. It could be cooking. You know, I know people love food. I have a friend of mine that's what he does. Or maybe you're an artist. Yeah, there you go. Whatever the topic is, if someone wanted to get the word out on YouTube, because there's a benefit of YouTube, we'll talk about that in a minute, what would be some of the steps that you would give a person about starting a YouTube channel?
Your first 100 followers are going to be excruciating and painful. Right now, YouTube is really big into short form video, just like TikTok, Instagram, all of them. All of them want that short form video. The old advice with YouTube was to make at least 10-minute long videos, because what you wanted to do was rack up your hours watched, But quite frankly, if you're just starting off, if you really want to accelerate faster, if you create YouTube shorts, those shorter 60 seconds or less, on a specific topic, just like one thing, you will do a lot better than trying to create these long-form content that you're going to struggle to edit because you're just not there unless you're an amazing editor, which, you know, you probably don't need my advice on starting a YouTube channel, but give yourself a smaller milestone. And just start creating useful, helpful information that's going to, you know, start to get your word out there and get you seen. And consider it a hobby, not the end goal of a potential job, so that you're, again, taking that stress away and reducing that pressure on yourself to get a ton of followers and a ton of views. But the most important thing is to realize that YouTube is a search engine. You can't just put up any old word on there and choose anything. You really need to consider, what are people looking for with whatever my topic is. So back in 2020, I did this little series of about 60 to 90 second videos for YouTube on how to be more confident on camera, how to use Zoom better, how to set up your studio. You can go see them. There's probably, I don't know, maybe 10 to 15 of those. And they did, one has got like 10,000 views because people appreciated finding exactly how to fix the glare on their glasses in 60 seconds. They didn't need more than that. The answer wasn't needing more than that. And those did really well. So you can really propel yourself faster without putting so much pressure on yourself, going shorter but targeted information.
Yeah, I'm shocked. You said 60 seconds, 60 to 90 seconds, that's it?
That's all I did for that series, yeah. I probably should remake the series, to be honest, and put them in the short format. But, yeah, I didn't do – it was a whole project. It was from another Toastmaster, actually. Toastmaster is the public speaking organization that helps you become a better leader and a better public speaker. And they were like, Amanda, you're really good at this on-camera stuff. We got a lot of members. They're really good at – speaking in person, but they're really struggling transition to doing it on Zoom. Can we do a weekly video, one tip a week, to help them out? And that was the whole concept to begin with. And so that's why it's called, what did I call it? Savvy Skills for Speakers, which is not,
wow.
It doesn't go with my, you know, it says something, but it really didn't go on the search engine optimization. I just thought it was cool.
Right, right. You know, let's do this. Let's take a, let me look at the time, 34-second commercial. We'll be back in 34 seconds. Hold tight.
You've been listening to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show, brought to you by motivational speaker Greg Dwyer on buildingfortunesradio.com. If you wish you could sharpen your focus on what matters most to you and achieve more, then you owe it to yourself to read Greg's ebook at gregdwyerebook.com. That's www.gregdwyerebook.com. Download it today and give it away. As always, we want to thank you for listening to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with motivational speaker Greg Dwyer. Now back to our show. Take it away, Greg.
All right, we're talking with Amanda May Gray. So let's make a little shift here. I know that you also do public speaking, and that's how our paths cross. Tell us a little bit about what you offer in that world as far as companies and who your perfect customer is and your theme that you bring to people. Tell us a little bit about that, because I always love to talk with other people that do speaking.
Absolutely. So I do a couple of different topics, but they all kind of centralize around, you know, feeling good about what you're putting out there in the world. I do a workshop about how to be competent and have executive presence on camera, on Zoom, specifically for those virtual calls. So a whole gamut of, like, what to wear, how to set up your space, what you need to consider, ways to feel more comfortable and confident, how to keep people engaged. So there's a lot of variety in there to really up your game and look as professional on a Zoom call as I would meet you in person. And then that also transitions to, I do another workshop or keynote on to create your virtual presence. So I'm a digital asset creation person. So that's videos, you know, YouTube banners, LinkedIn banners, social media posts, and I help people brand their whole image so that it is the same no matter if I look you up on your website, on your Instagram, on your Facebook, on your YouTube, on your LinkedIn. It is a consistent look and feel across all your channels. So it's really marketing, but branding as well. And that makes a big difference. That's the whole reason that I ended up on the digital marketing, what was it, from the University of Southern Florida Businesses Advisory Panel for their digital marketing certificate, was because I created such a beautiful image, because I like to tinker with things and I'm a very visual person. I created this image online that looks very professional. And so I talked to other people about how you do that, and then that kind of goes into my keynote, which is based on my lab method. My lab method is look the part for L, act the part for A, lab method.
I love it. I love that. That
goes across for a few things, right? So that can be literally in person. You know, how are you showing up? You know, if you when I first started learning tennis, I felt out of place. And so I went and I got myself a tennis outfit, and when I walked on the court, I felt a little bit better because I felt like I fit in. I felt like I belonged. So I looked the part, which then gave me the confidence to start acting the part versus being distracted by the fact that I feel awkward, I'm not in the right attire. So it literally can be physical, but that's also with your digital image online, right? If you want to start to be a YouTuber, how are you going to come across? What are you know, maybe not massive YouTubers doing, but what's their look? What's their image? For me, I looked the part online, creating this, you know, consistent imagery no matter where you go, and that made me look more established than I probably was at the time. It matters. And because I looked that way, okay, now what are the action steps that I need to take to start becoming that person? So if I want to be a digital marketer, what do digital marketers do? They get on podcasts, right? They help people with their own branding images. They work on different things for different brands. So I started taking the actions towards it as well. And then that helped me become that part. It kind of goes both ways. It's Yes, there's a physical component to it that is potential, and that's really great for, like, salespeople. That's good for recruiters, anybody that really has to feel more secure in where they are and bringing other people into what they want. So that also goes for, you know, maybe public speakers like yourself, right? Your motivational speaking. Or anybody else who's trying to build their personal brand online, what are the steps that you're going to look like that when they go online? And then how do you start taking the actions to be that person as well? So it's kind of, it kind of flexes between the both things. And it pulls from my modeling background, because in modeling and in acting, I also am an actress, especially in acting, you get a role that you have to audition for. And traditionally, you will go find the outfit that puts you in that mindset. So if I was a golfer, I wouldn't want to be wearing a hoodie, right, and doing the audition. Right. I'd go find myself a little polo that looked athletic. And that helped. I reflected on it. I was like, oh, that's what I do in acting and modeling. They give me the outfit. I start to look the part, so then I start to act the part, and then I am the part.
Wow.
So that's that in a nutshell.
So that's the transformation. So what do you think the biggest obstacles or the biggest obstacle that people face? Is it just pushing past the fear? What is it?
I think it's convincing themselves that they can and should do stuff. I think we're constantly searching for exterior acceptance, exterior permission, exterior everything. Right, we want society and every other people to accept us, and it's very hard to just be bold and say, you know what, I am now X.
Yeah.
And instead, we have to talk ourselves into it. So I think more than anything else, you have to talk yourself into whatever part you want to be. You want to put it in acting terms, whatever role you want in life, you have to talk yourself into that more than you have to talk anybody else into it. It's kind of like what you're talking before, right? You see somebody's child growing up, and you only see them a few times a year. You see the differences. That's the same with them. Other people are going to accept, oh, wow, you're doing this. Oh, wow, you did that. And to you, you're like, oh, that matters? That made a difference? Oh, okay. But we constantly are finding and seeking that validation, especially in today's age with social media and the constant filters and that's another story.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, Amanda May, I have to say this whole metaphor of acting, because not everybody listening is an actress or an actor, but I love the metaphor. I love the philosophy of dressing the part and thinking the part and also realizing that not everybody likes Anne Margaret or whoever, Jack Cassidy or whoever I can think off the top of my head. Not everybody's going to be attracted to a certain personality. Heck, not everybody likes chocolate ice cream, right? So not everybody's going to resonate with you. Yeah. So, well, listen, I know we're talking about six. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you're good.
I was going to say, we only have 6 minutes left, and I want to get your contact information out there. So people are going to want to hire you. They want to find you on YouTube. So how do they do that? Let's get that out of the way real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me anywhere on the interwebs under my full name, Amanda May, M-A-E, not Y, M-A-E, Gray, G-R-A-Y. That's under YouTube. You can look me up there, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. It's all, even my website's just amandamaygray.com. You can find all the things under that. Sometimes it's easiest just to go to YouTube and type that in, because even if you spell it wrong, it might still pop up. But, yeah, it's M-A-E-G-R-A-Y. I think I have an easy name, and yet you can still mess it up, despite the fact that it's got 3 letters and 4 letters.
You alluded to something earlier, and I think you said it at the top of the call, about Google and YouTube as far as search engine. Talk a little bit about that, because, you know, people want to find you. They're just going to go to Google, right? Or they're going to go to YouTube?
They're just going to go to Google. Yep. Traditionally, you go to Google. You type in somebody's name. You see what comes up.
Yeah.
A lot of times in YouTube, you're looking for a specific answer to a question that you need to visually see the answer to, and not so much looking for a specific person. So there's the differentiator there. If you're going to Google me, you're just going to Google it. You're going to find my, you know, my all my socials, all the things. But if you're looking to find out how to reduce your glare on your glasses in a Zoom call, you're probably going to go to YouTube and type in that specific question, and then I'll pull up as well. So that's the difference
right.
between the two search engines, but they are number one and number two. So also, mm-hmm. if you're creating YouTube, just make sure you're thinking about what's the question people are asking and what's the answer that I'm providing.
Wow. Wow. So I always used to say at the end, because I'm looking at the time, we only have 4 minutes left. Is there anything that you want to say or you want to talk about or anything that's coming up that you want to promote or just something you want to share that I just didn't ask you and you're like, wow, I wish I got that in. So here's your chance. I mean, 4 minutes. You can say anything you want.
I think my biggest thing is, like, my podcast is called Yes, You May, because I want people to start to give themselves permission. And I talk to other people just that are inspiring, that are interesting. And I don't think you need to start waiting around for somebody else to tell you you're good enough, for somebody else to give you that affirmation. If you want it, the biggest thing you need to do is go out there and do some research. What is it? How do I get there? Find some gurus of sort, but really find a community. I think that's the real secret that most gurus don't actually talk about. Finding a community of people that are doing and actively working on, even if they're starting from scratch with you, what you want to do, that makes a world of a difference. Because then you get to bounce mm-hmm. ideas off of people. You don't feel so alone. It can feel super, super lonely putting any content out on the internet, no matter what the type is. You can feel really
right.
lonely trying to start a business of any kind. So if you can find like-minded people that make you feel like maybe you're not crazy to be chasing this thing, right? That really can help you out. And you're going to pull from different backgrounds together, and you're going to help each other push forward. So find the community. Find people who have already done it. Learn from them. Don't try to reinvent
mm-hmm.
the wheel. And then if you are doing a personal brand or something like that, make sure you do create a branded image for yourself. Personally, I choose one type of a color palette. It's my favorite colors. You'll see it across all my work. It's
mm-hmm.
on my business as well. And I even dress the same because they're just my favorite colors. Actually, one of my mentors
right.
was surprised. He saw me in person. He was like, your clothes match your business card. I was like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the point. It's all cohesive. It all makes sense. Because no
right.
matter where they look,
right.
they're gonna that visual makes a difference. It really does.
And then you have the beautiful smile. So I am so glad that our paths crossed, and I know you're going to help a lot of people. I know a lot of people that I've coached that are listening to this. They're going to listen to a broadcast in the future, and they're going to reach out to you. So give that contact information again so they can find you.
Yes, you can go to my website, AmandaMayGray.com. You can just do Amanda May Gray on LinkedIn, Instagram, all the things, and it's Amanda, A-M-A-N-D-A, May, M-A-E. Gray, GRAY.com.
Excellent. Well, I know it's a busy season. We just got done with Thanksgiving. We're going into the other season of Christmas and Hanukkah. And there's a lot of things going on. So
Here
I really appreciate your time. Yeah, I know. And then before you know it, the holidays will be over. And before you know it, we're talking about weight loss and how to improve your image. You know, it's just a circus. But I really appreciate you giving us your time, giving us your wisdom, and helping us understand that you can dress the part and you can change your mind and you can cultivate confidence by how you think and who you surround yourself with, and most of all, model success, which I really think I've taken away as far as some, and I've been taking notes, so I really appreciate it.
Okay, good.
Amanda May, Gray, thank you so much for your time. All righty. We'll catch
you
next time, everybody. Oh, thank you. All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show, brought to you by motivational speaker Greg Dwyer on buildingfortunesradio.com. Check out Greg at gregdwyer.com. Be sure to download his ebook at gregdwyerebook.com to stay focused on what matters most to you. That's www.gregdwyerebook.com. We want to thank you for listening. Now go make a difference in your world.